afternoon, everybody. This is Richard Jusser, and I'm with the Fisherman Ministry and Eagle Radio Network. And this is the Hour of Truth, and I have Steve Atherton with us today. Hello, Steve. If I was doing any better, I'd have to help myself. Praise God. And we have Richard Jusser Jr. online with us, too. And how are you today, Rick? Oh, that's good. All right, let's see. I'm going to fade this out. That's what we'll do. We'll fade that out. And got to stop this thing from telling me it's auto-recovering is aborted. Well, it's been a very interesting morning, don't you think? Well, why'd you do that? Ah, okay. Did you get it? Yeah. Oh, that's good. Just in case, right? Well, what is it with this? How come this is always happening? All right, now let's see if they can hear you now.
I wonder if they can hear me now. I hope they don't need a Verizon cell phone to hear me.
Well, if they need a Verizon phone, you're not going to hear me from Havasu, that's for darn sure.
There you go.
All right, they should be able to hear you now.
Cool. Well, we'll see. They'll come on up, I'm sure.
I don't know what it is with that thing, but it does that all the time.
I don't know what it is either.
It's Skype. It messes up on me sometimes. We get this thing where it goes to the headset instead of to the line that it's supposed to go to so it can hear what was being said and all.
Well, now apparently they can hear us.
That's right. Well, praise God. You know, there's a lot of stuff being talked about today. And one of the things I wanted to talk a little bit about today was myths. Myths in the church. We got a lot of them. Of course, you got some obvious ones like, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. You know that's in the Bible.
God helps those who help themselves.
Oh, yeah, right. And you know, people come up with this stuff. And people believe it. People hear a thing, it sounds good to them, and they just take it for granted and they believe it. And there's some other things, you know, those are minor things. And, you know,
I look God is in control.
Oh, yeah, God is in control. Everything, you know. We had a guy with his ministry, you remember, he used to have this thing that any time he did anything and it was wrong, he would take his hands and kind of push down with them like to say, it's okay, it's okay. Then he'd point up, God is in control. Yeah, and he would do all this kind of stuff all the time. And it finally got to me one day. And I told him, I said, you're the only person on planet Earth I ever met or ever heard about that was totally perfect in all things in God, that you never ever did anything wrong, that every move you took, every breath you took, everything you did was ordered by God. He got a little upset with me.
Another good one, that one is, it's all going to be all right.
Yeah.
Which goes with God is in control, of course, because then it never makes any difference what decisions we make.
Yeah, tell that to those children of Israel that died in the desert, right?
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, there's you a can lot see of stuff. That, go ahead, Rick.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to just reiterate what Steve was saying is one of the best passages that I like to talk to people about is over where... In Proverbs 1, where it goes, and it says, because they rejected the word of God or the hand of the Lord, that he'll laugh at their calamity when their fear cometh upon them.
Oh, yeah.
That's just one of those that just will make your hair stand on end if you have any sense about you.
That's right. And yet, people won't believe that. They'll believe some stupid thing somebody says out here in the by and by. But when it comes to certain things in the Word, they won't believe it.
And I'm sure Corey, when he was going open into the pit, when the earth was opened, and he and all those with him fell directly into hell, I don't think they were thinking, you know what, I think it's going to be all right, Corey, as they were going down.
Well, I think people get confused with, they misunderstand what it means by God is love. And they put human emotion into that and completely messes the whole dynamic up, because that's not what God's talking about.
I'll tell you what, I don't know about anybody else, but I thank God that he's not about human love. Because if he was, we'd all be toast.
Yeah, we'd be all gone.
Human love is fickle, baby. You know, human love is that kind of love that as long as you make me happy, I love you, buddy. But when you don't make me happy, you're dead.
There's this song that I like, you know, the song generally the way it sounds, but I probably have to go get the sheet because it's almost demanding, a person demanding God please them. You sort of scratch your head and go, who wrote this?
Well, you know, the service this morning when we were going through Psalm 25, if anybody was listening, put a pretty big kibosh on that.
Okay, somebody's...
That was Ricky.
Oh, don't
he had
do
to
that,
step
Rick.
Away a second.
Yeah. All right, what we're talking about, now that Ricky's gone, we can talk about it. We're going to talk about some myths that's in the church, and some truths, and how people can't see the truth for the myth. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Now, one of the truths that I want to get into is this thing about Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and Cain going off and marrying his sister. Now, this is a common thing in the churches today. It is common in the churches today to believe that Adam knew Eve and she bare Cain, and then he knew her again and he bare and she bare Abel. And then Abel and Cain grew up, and you know the story. We're going to go through it here in a minute. But Cain ends up killing Abel, and then he goes off to the land of Nod after God throws him out, drives him off. He goes out to the land of Nod, and there he marries a woman there, takes a woman from them for as a wife. And you ask the average preacher today, well, where did the wife come from? Oh, well, it was one of his sisters. Really? Where does it say that? Well, Adam and Eve were the first man and woman on the earth. It had to be their sister. Well, how come it doesn't say that Adam knew Eve again and she bore Priscilla? Well, because women weren't important back then. Duh. It caused the fall of the world. I mean, you know, it's not important. You know, it is amazing how people will stretch when the truth is sitting right in front of them. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So, just for giggles and grins, let us go to Genesis.
And do you want to go to chapter 1, verse 26?
No, I want to go to chapter 4.
Ah, okay, that's a good one.
All right, we're going to go right here to chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. Now, we all know what knew Eve, his wife. Didn't mean she walked around the corner and said, hey, how are you doing? I'm Adam. Oh, I'm Eve. Oh, glad to meet you. Good to meet you, too. Now we know one another. We know it doesn't mean that, right?
We do.
That's right. and she conceived. And Bear came and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, that's important what she said here.
Sure.
And why is that, Steve?
Well, because back in Genesis chapter 3, the Lord had said unto, had spoken of the seed of the woman. And this, and let's see, where was that? That was verse 15 of chapter 3. And he said, and I will put enmity, in speaking to the serpent, Satan, says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
All right, now.
It shall.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Right, so here he's talking about Antichrist and Jesus.
Yes, he is.
The serpent's seed would be the Antichrist. And the woman's seed here that he's speaking of will be Christ that comes down through the woman.
Amen.
All right, now, no argument here. Pretty straightforward, right?
Yep.
But here in Genesis chapter 4, Eve makes a statement. She bears a son, bear Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, that sounds very close to saying, yep, God was right. Here he is. Would you say so?
It does, and yet we know that Cain was not the Lord.
And then now let's go to the next verse. And she again bare his brother Abel. Now wait a minute. Doesn't say Adam knew his wife again, does it?
It doesn't.
That must be something people just assume then, right?
Yeah.
You know what they say about assume, right?
We've been all over assume today. That's not going to be a good thing, folks.
That's right. So she again bare his brother Abel. Now, my mother bore my sister Darlene, and again she bore me. You know what they call us? Twins. So Cain and Abel were twins. Can we all agree on that? Can we all come up and say, okay, I can buy that. Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived, bare Cain, and then she bare Abel. Okay, that sounds like twins. Can we go along with that?
Sounds reasonable.
All right. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, see, it was very easy back then, you know, to know when God accepted your sacrifice. You set up your altar, you put your sacrifice on it, you back off 100 yards. You didn't want to stand by the sacrifice. If God accepted it, fire came out of heaven, burn it up. If God didn't accept it, it sat there on the thing and rotted. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Steve, why didn't God accept Cain's sacrifice?
Well, because the Lord, over in the previous chapter, had shown Abel's parents that they were to, had shown them sacrifice. If you remember, they were clothed with animal skins.
Right.
And that's how Abel's sacrifice, which was of the sheep, Jesus was the Lamb of God, which was the whole purpose of the sacrifice, was to point towards Christ. That's why his was accepted. And instead, Cain brought that which was cursed.
Oh, wait, cursed?
From that, which was the
you mean those poor little defenseless little vegetables that he brought were cursed?
Yes, because they were the fruit of the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Which was cursed.
Cursed is the fruit of the ground for thy sake. Uh-oh, guess what? Guess what Adam was made from?
the ground, the dust. Right.
He was made from the ground. Notice that Adam was not created. Adam was made. Amen.
Amen.
Doesn't it say that? That he took the dust of the ground and made Adam and breathed in him the breath of life, formed him. And then Eve was made from a rib from Adam. So Adam and Eve were both from the ground. Now, this brings a point out that our bodies are cursed. And nothing you can do with this body is going to make it worthy of God.
That's why Paul said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?"
That's right. Now, let's carry one other thing. Jesus came, was called Son of Man or Son of Adam. But he did not come from the blood of Adam. He came through the woman. And his father was the Holy Spirit. It says that that Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost, right?
Yes, it does.
So therefore, if the Holy Ghost was the father of Jesus, the man, then the blood that flowed in the veins of Jesus was the most holy, perfect blood that ever flowed anywhere at any time.
Amen.
And that's how it could take away the sins of the world.
Amen.
And that's why Jesus wasn't under the curse, because though he was born of the woman, he was not born of the man. But through the woman, he was of the seed of Adam. Simple enough?
Amen. Simple enough.
Everybody got that? Everybody with me on that? All right. Now, what does he do? The Lord, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?" Now, you know, it sounds like to me, and we're going to hit on this in a minute. We're going to hit on another false myth here in a minute. And it's going to circle around this little sentence right here. "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen?" Gee, I thought God knew everything, Steve.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, God knew everything. What in the world is he doing asking such a stupid question for? I didn't know God was so stupid. Well, praise God, he is not stupid. God is not
stupid. But he does give man a free will.
He gives man a free will. And even though we're going to find out in a minute who Cain's real father was, he gives him a chance. Why are you upset? Why are you so bent out of shape?
And why are you looking so sad?
Yeah. "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Now, Cain goes, talks with his brother Abel. What happens? He gets mad, he kills him. Right?
Yes, it happens right after this.
Now, you guys got to keep your fingers in this pie, because we're going to be hitting some subjects here, multiple subjects, and then we're going to pull them all together. So he goes and kills him. And you can read all that. And then, let's see, we're going to get down here in verse 16. "Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden." Now, where did the land of Nod come from? Oh, was that?
Well, there was a guy by the name of Nod.
A guy? Well, why wasn't Nod?
A guy.
Why wasn't Nod mentioned in where Cain and Abel was born? I didn't see him mentioned anywhere. Did you?
That's right, because they were just east of Eden.
Right. So see, God made Adam in the garden. But see, what people fail to look at is Genesis chapter 1, when God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. After his likeness created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish." That means fill again the earth.
And those are verses 26 to 28 of chapter 1. You were just 27 and 28, excuse me.
Right. Now, here's the thing. 26 to 28,
yeah.
Here's the thing. They were created. They weren't made. And it goes on to say, "The seventh day he rested from all his works." God took the day off. he might have taken more than a day off. Maybe he took 1,000 years off. Who knows how much time he took off? I don't know. It's not important. What is important is that he created mankind and told him to replenish the earth. And then time passes. That's what's important. Then he creates a garden eastward in Eden, and there he forms a man out of the dust of the earth. Totally different man. Go back to the other guys, and they can eat of all the trees. Go to this guy, he can't eat of all the trees. To the first ones, there's nothing held back. They eat of everything there. To the second one, he cannot eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Two different guys.
Go ahead.
Amen. Now, one other thing I think is just kind of interesting there is that prior to Adam eating of the tree of knowledge of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there also was no death at all.
Amen.
Even the animals died.
That's right. There was no sin. There was no sin. You cannot have sin if you don't know that there's a sin.
That's right. Where there is no law, there is no sin.
That's right. So now we've come to this place where we find that Adam knew Eve, his wife. She first bare Cain, and then she bare Abel. They were brothers, yes, amen. I have no problem with that. But then Cain went and killed Abel. Then Cain went off to the land of Nod, which was there because of the people that God created over in Genesis chapter 1.
Right. None of those people lived in Eden. Only Adam and Eve were in Eden.
Right. And those people were the people that Cain went to and took a wife. All right. Now, let's go on down a little bit. Let's go down. Where does it show the lineage of Adam? Adam's people.
It's in a bunch of different places. Let's see. You can do it in chapter 5.
All right, let's do it in chapter 5. That sounds good to me. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created him in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Oh, did I miss something? What did I miss here?
I think so. I don't see Cain in there.
I don't see Cain in there either. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. Now, I understand why Abel wasn't in there, because Abel was killed. See?
He couldn't have children.
Right, he couldn't have children. So Abel was killed. But Adam, after Cain had left, had Seth. Seth is listed as a son of Adam, but Cain is not. Is that interesting?
That is interesting.
All right, let's go to John.
Chapter 8?
Yeah. And let's look at a little conversation that goes down here.
I know the key point is 41, but I don't know where you want to begin.
I know, let's see. He's talking to the Pharisees, and I'll start at 37. Y'all read all of it yourself, but we'll start at verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Is that where I want to start? Yeah, I'll start that. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Oh, my goodness. Now, this sounds familiar.
Sounds just like what Eve said.
That sounds exactly what Eve said, isn't it? And then look, you do the deeds of your father. Now, what was the deed that, what is the deed that these guys were trying to do? Kill Jesus. Right?
Amen.
For telling them the truth. What did Cain do? Kill Adam for doing the truth. I mean, Abel for doing the truth. They say unto him, we be not born of fornication. Where did fornication come into this? Did Jesus accuse them of being born of fornication?
He did not. He just told them that they were of their, that they did the deeds of their father, which was the devil.
You see, these guys knew right. Something that most Christians today don't know. They don't have a sense to pull it out. Cain was born the seed of Satan. That serpent was his father, not Adam. And just like these people are doing the deeds of their father, Cain did the deeds of his father. Abel did the deed of his father, Adam. Go ahead.
The other thing that you see is just the discourse that they have. When God came to bring the truth to Cain, Cain's reaction was to kill Abel.
That's right.
Jesus came bringing the truth, and you see that in verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So you see the same connection in their actions very, very clearly here.
That's right. And Jesus goes on to say unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, who is the father of Cain?
The serpent, the devil.
The devil. Now, somebody might say, well, why isn't it just told real clear? Well, first of all, you don't need to know that to be saved. But secondly, it's got to be revealed to you. Yeah, you've got.
Right.
You know,
but it is. I was thinking about this, Dave. I can just say something on it. That is, you just spoke a word. You said it has to be revealed, and this is a revelation. It's not a doctrine. It's a revelation. The seed of Satan and the seed of God and the seed of man of Adam are doctrine, but that Eve bore Cain. Bore Cain by fornication with the devil is not doctrine. It's a revelation, and we're sharing the scriptures here with you that causes it, that shows you where it fits with scripture, which is different than preaching a doctrine where you have by two or more witnesses is anything established. And when something fits with scripture, any revelation has to fit with scripture and fit in the overall context in order to be of God. And we're simply showing you how that is true in this instance.
Right, but it doesn't have to be a doctrine at the same time.
Right.
And you know, it's interesting that Peter quoted Paul and talked about God giving Paul a revelation concerning the Church of Philadelphia, but he never gave it to Peter. But Peter, knowing Paul was of God, talked about it and admitted that Paul was of God and that God had given him that.
Amen.
So, just because God gives it to one doesn't mean he has to give it to all. And just because he doesn't give it to all doesn't mean it's not true.
Amen.
So here is the point in that Cain and Abel were the first examples, if you will, of the seed of Satan seeking to destroy Adam's seed. And still doing it today. Hey, and also, if you take one more step, hold on, Rick. If you take one more step, Abel was a type and shadow, if you will, of Jesus. Because Cain's still trying to kill Jesus. He's trying to kill Jesus by destroying the Word. He's trying to kill Jesus by destroying those who believe on him. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, what I was going to say is along that line, because you see Eve's claim to the fulfillment of prophecy with "I've received a man-child from the Lord," and you see Satan trying to short-circuit God's promise that he would send salvation to mankind. Because when it talks about your father is a murderer, I mean, not only is he the father of Cain who murdered Abel, but he's the one that set mankind up for death through his trickery or deceit.
And also, it might help to go look up the word beguile. It means more than just fool.
Yeah.
Well, one of the other things is that you see something that's very common, which is Eve is covering up her own sin. And in covering up her own sin, it later is exposed. And that's something that's very common. And that's exactly how, the devil works. And it's something that all of us have done. It's not just Eve who's done it. And in so doing, it's why Christ had to die for us.
Right. Now, we hit upon this thing where God said to Cain, "Why are you upset?" See, there's another myth out there that God knows everything and knows everybody and what everybody's going to do. And I want to go over to Genesis here for a minute, back into Genesis again.
To chapter 18, I think it is.
It could be.
Verses 20-21.
Let's see. Let's start back at 16.
Okay.
And the men rose up. This is God and a couple angels. Rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." All right, now see, this is a predestinated plan God has concerning Abraham. So he knows this is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Where are we again?
Genesis 18, Rick, verse 16 and 17.
All right, thanks.
And 18.
All right, now I'm starting on 19. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." So you see now, here is God knowing a man and knowing his plan for that man. All right? "And the Lord said," now this is amazing. I want y'all to listen to this. I hope you got your Bibles out and you're reading it. "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." Hello.
Boy, that just throws a big, big, fat fly in the ointment, doesn't it?
Oh, man, somebody did something in the punch bowl. That's what's happened.
I think somebody has done plum peed my cornflakes here.
I wasn't going to be that gross, son. Well, I was. I just wasn't going to word it. I was going to let somebody else think of it. But anyway, I will go down now and see whether they have done all together according to the cry of it. See, God's in heaven. He gets this report that some bad stuff is going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He doesn't believe it, so he goes down to see for himself if it's true. Now, does that sound like God knew in advance this was going to happen?
Absolutely not.
I'd like to have somebody out there argue with me on this. I'd like somebody to come up here and show me scripture to prove this false. And the men turned their faces from this and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And then Abraham goes through this rigmarole about how many righteous people will he be there and still destroy. He got him down to 10. If 10 righteous were there, God would not destroy it. And see, this is a type and shadow. This whole thing is a type and shadow of what's going to happen here in the end day of the churches. Because there's not going to be enough righteous people on this planet to save it, let alone the churches. And the Church of Philadelphia, which is that church of brotherly love, is what is holding back that Antichrist. And when their number is too small to hold it back anymore, they're going to be taken out of the way. And then that son of perdition will be laid out, and he'll come about, and then all hell's going to break loose. Then we'll start the tribulation.
Amen.
All right, now, you might say, well, that just doesn't show me anything. Well, let me show you something else. Let's go.
You want to go to Jeremiah?
Jeremiah 19.
19, verse 5.
No, verse, yeah, fine. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal. Now watch this. Which I commanded not, nor spake it. Here comes the kicker. Neither came it into my mind. It never occurred to Jesus that anything like this could, I mean to God, that anything like this could happen. Go ahead. I know you're biting at the bit to say something.
No, I'm actually, I mean, it's true. And the I think the part that people stumble over is they neglect that when God gave man a free will, by definition, he would not know how they would exercise it.
That's right.
And that's why also when he created Lucifer, who we know as Satan, he did not know that Lucifer was going to rebel against him and be kicked out of heaven.
Right.
Steve?
He didn't? Yep.
You know, I did a sermon not too long ago. And I don't know if people have really thought about it, but if God...
Think about your sermon.
If God knew everything that was going to happen, how we were going to do it, why we were going to do it, before we did it, and yet still created us, I don't know that I would want to have much to do with the guy.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Rick, as you say that, the thing that strikes me is how many people blame God for every bad thing that happens. And as though he, I mean, for example, if God knows everything, then he knew that September 11th was going to occur. He knew exactly which people were going to die. He knew when the firemen were going to choose to go upstairs when the building was about ready to go down. He knew that they were going to send out a warning to people saying, you know what, go back to your offices. Everything's okay while the tower's on fire. He would have known every single one of these things, and he would have let it happen anyways. And it's those kinds of false doctrines that cause many people's faith in the God that they have in mind to be destroyed. And they don't realize that it's actually a good thing that that faith is destroyed.
They erred in their ways because they know not God.
Yep.
Amen. And this is one of the reasons why they err in their ways. They know not God. They're taught wrong. And these preachers will stand up in these pulpits. God knows everything. Who told you that? Where did you learn that? We have it written right here in the Word of God, right in front of us, that God did not know these people were going to do this thing. Never occurred to him.
You know, it's interesting, Davey, as you say that, it strikes me how many people say that then don't have the power of God to heal. I mean, because, of course, if you're sick, God knew you were going to be sick. It's for you, you know, to make you holy or to make you this or to make you that. You're born handicapped. Oh, it must be of the Lord that I'm born handicapped. Thank you, Lord, for this handicap.
Was I born this way?
All of these different things.
Why was I born this way? Because God doesn't like you, stupid. Maybe that's the way we ought to go.
But I just say it. I mean, it's what happens is people, they don't believe the Word of God, and it leads to all these different types of things, which justifies them in not changing their ways.
Right. And the truth of the matter is, there's much in the Word that shows us God's nature and God shows us where God is coming from and what he has done. And his will is to save Adam's seed. And he has an elect seed that he does foreknow. He did know them. He does foreknow them. And he has chosen them and puts them in place down through the ages to do his will, to show Adam's seed the truth concerning him. But what cannot be forgotten is that Satan has the same thing, a counterfeit, his own seed. And they come to deceive Adam and turn him away from God.
You know, there's another scripture that I like to talk about in this vein. And it deals with Abraham again. It deals with Abraham and Isaac. And you know, God tells Isaac or Abraham to take Isaac up and sacrifice him. And Abraham's going through all the steps. And it says in verse 11 in chapter 22, Genesis, and the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me.
Not know it until he proved it.
That's right. And there's that exercise of free will in the moment. If God knew, and I've heard, and Brad's used this before, you know, God is everywhere and every when, and I disagree because, you know, God doesn't know what I'm going to do until I act on it. And hear God to try Abraham. I mean, this was a trial to test him.
And there's another thing, Rick, just a little point here. I gotta put a tad in there for Isaac. You know, a little attaboy for Isaac. You know, where do we get off this that Isaac was a little tiny baby child? You know, they show the pictures of this little baby boy wrapped up on the altar. Isaac was about 21 or 22 years old when this took place.
Yeah, he was a strapping young fella.
I mean, Abraham was an old man, and Isaac could have easily taken him.
Right.
And what are you doing, fool? You ain't gonna tie me up, put me on that altar. But Isaac's faith was in line with his father.
Well, it was in line with God's testimony of Abraham too, because we just read, was it over in 18, that the Lord says that he knows Abraham will raise his children up in the fear of the Lord. And they, I mean, so you see. There's just too much. And I used to be one of the guys that would argue with you about God knowing everything. It was one of those hard things I had to really wrestle to the ground. But you can't ignore, you can try, But if your heart is to know the Lord, you can't ignore what the word says here. And where it, the thing that the impact it makes on us as believers is that this act right here, we see talked about in the New Testament. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or accounted unto him for righteousness. You know, that believing God was the fact that God said the promise was through Isaac. Therefore, if I kill my son, God has to raise him from the dead.
God,
that's
you know,
the faith.
That's right. It doesn't matter what I do. If I obey God, God is still going to keep his promise.
God, you know, Rick,
go ahead.
I was going to say,
Well, you know, with three of us here, it's hard to get a word in edgewise.
Well, I did say I was bringing you all up for a round table thing.
There you go, Rick.
Maybe we ought to call this point and counterpoint. What do you think?
Well, the point I was going to make, Rick, is that when you're talking about Abraham there, and gosh, frankly, I forgot it. Apologize. You say your point, and I'm maybe able to bring it back to remember.
As if you think I remember mine. No, the point is that you see it in the New Testament. You even can go over to James, which is a thing that a lot of the churches, we'll call them Cain churches today, those that offer the works of the flesh, they get it confused too, because you see James talking about Abraham being justified by works, quote unquote. That work was obedience. That work was the obedience through faith in God with the undying, unmovable belief that God was going to accomplish what he promised, regardless of what he sees. And if that's the measure, if that's the example, man, speaking for myself, I know I fall short.
Well, you know, Rick, one of the things that you mentioned is Abraham, he had to prove his faith. See, and one of the things that happens out here nowadays is people avoid having to prove their faith, to have the rubber actually hit the road. And you see it all the time. I mean, it's amazing how many people say, well, I believe in Jesus. All right. James said, some say they have faith, some say they have works. I will show you my works by my faith. Will you apply your faith in God's word and do the works of God or not? If you do, that's proving it. If you do and you find yourself faulting, then you realize your faith is not what you thought it was. And that's not great on the one hand, but you still have time to change that, which is great on the other hand, so to speak. So, you know, I mean, that's one of the things is that if you really want to go forward in the Lord, you are going to have to bring things to the light to be examined whether they be wrought in God or not. And you have to be willing to receive the correction that they weren't, that you can then conform to his way. Didn't mean to put a kibosh on everybody.
Didn't put a kibosh on me. I just muted so you could talk.
I was just being quiet.
Praise God. There's just that little gap there of quietness.
That dead air.
That's right. We're on radio, you know.
Yeah. All right. Now, is this helping you people out any? Is this making it clear? If you have more questions, feel free to throw them in the chat room, or you can even come up here on the Skype and talk with us.
You know, Rick, you have another verse you love in this vein, which is Matthew 17:21-23, where it says, many shall come to me in that day saying, I'm going to pull it up. No, it's 7:21.
Yeah, 7:21.
Yeah, I apologize. I said 17, and it's 7:21. But what's amazing about this is it says, "Not everyone that cometh, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord," referring to people who call themselves Christians, because who else is going to call Jesus Lord, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, watch that. Doeth the will.
There's that obedience. I remember Dad preaching a sermon. We were in that little church there in outside Montpelier, that little daycare thing.
Uh-huh.
And this one thing he said, he asked us, what's the valve to the power of God? And that was humility and obedience. You're never gonna experience the power of God unless you operate in obedience to God. And that's through our free will.
And that will is so critical there, because it says, but he that doeth the will, which is your choice, he will never make that choice for you ever.
That's right.
There's never going to be a day where he'll make that choice for you. It's always up to you to make that choice.
And as much as I hate to say it, you can sit there and say, Lord, make me this, make me that, make me this, make me that, make me this, make me that, make me believe you, make me want to do, it ain't going to happen. Because to do that, he has to take away your free will. It's something you have to choose to want.
Amen. And if you then look in verses 22 and 23, it continues, many, that's the great majority, will say to me, that is Jesus, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
And the key, now look at a couple of things here, Steve. The Baptists like to use this as an argument against praying for the sick and speaking in tongues and prophecy. They love, see that? See that? They did these things and God didn't know them. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. Prophesying in the name of the Lord doesn't save you. Casting out devils doesn't save you. Trusting in Jesus is what saves you, and believing him. You can clearly see that this many here were justifying themselves by what they perceived they did. They were not trusting in what Jesus did and believing on that.
It's that sacrifice of Cain again.
Keep in mind, when Jesus sent the 12 out, they all came back saying they cast out devils. That included Judas.
Amen. Otherwise, everybody would have known which one was.
That's right. They all came back professing to have done it. And what did Jesus say? Don't glorify that. Don't go there.
Rather that your names were written in the book of life.
I'd rather rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. See? Priorities.
The other thing is that we know that many things that are done, so to speak, in the name of the Lord, and I've heard prophecies and I've seen, you know, alleged casting out of devils and healings and stuff like that, that were none of this didn't happen.
Right.
It just didn't happen. I mean, there's so many things up there. There were always prophets of Baal, but the reason why they were prophets of Baal, but it wasn't that they went around saying, you know, Baal's great, God's awful, and stuff like that. Otherwise, the people wouldn't have heard them.
And prophecies will come to pass. This is what people fail to look at. Many of the false prophets' prophecies will come to pass because Satan will make them come to pass. The presumptuous prophets, their prophecies don't come to pass. Now, God's prophets, their prophecies always come to pass. So what's the difference between God's prophets and Satan's prophets? God's prophets always point you to Jesus. Satan's prophets always point you away.
And that can even be just to yourself.
That's a way, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Anything but Jesus.
Now, see, I want you to look at verse 23 at this word, ye that work iniquity. You see, here's the key. Now, I'm going to use a word that I made up, and I hope you all like it. Who was the first iniquitator?
Iniquitator?
No, I said iniquitator.
Iniquitator.
Yeah, iniquitator works too, but I like iniquitator. I changed it.
Lucifer.
That's right. He was the first one that iniquity was found in. And what was that iniquity?
pride.
Right, pride. So, and he goes right back to what he said. Lord, didn't we do this thing? He said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work in pride, out of pride.
And that's, I mean, that aspect there is, it can't be understated, the importance of that concept right there. Because it's, I mean, if you look at Peter or Jesus as two examples, Jesus, when the guy came up to him and said, good master, he said, why callest thou me good? And the reason why he could say that is because if he had acknowledged it, he would have been giving, taking credit himself for that which his father did. Because as he said, he never did, his father doeth the works. And that's why Peter, when he went through the gate called Beautiful and healed the guy at the gate called Beautiful, who was lame from his mother's womb, he said, why do you look so earnestly on me as though by my own righteousness or power I've done this thing? And he then said, but by faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you slew, has this man been made every whit whole before you.
I love that.
So, and that's really the distinction here, folks. And, you know, it's why, you know, what can you say? It's very easy to fall into pride.
Amen.
It's as natural as eating and
see,
breathing.
It doesn't do away with Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. And it doesn't do away with the word where God, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he will do also, yea, far greater works than these. But it goes to show where they stood, and that because they believe on Jesus, they do the works of the Father, they do the works of Jesus, but it's his power and his righteousness that does it.
Amen. Well, I know we're getting...
I hope this helps. Well, you know, I got the button. I can go longer if I want to.
Hey, there you go. You do.
I got the button. I got the button. Anyway, yeah, I told you that today earlier, but you didn't understand me.
Yeah, I apologize.
You could have extended and finished up your thing on your service today. I would have let you go on over.
I will keep that in mind in the future.
I won't do it for Paul, but I can do it for you, see.
I try and keep it to the hour, but that Psalm 25 was a bit long there.
Yeah.
Plus, I wanted to hit that thing from Isaiah 58, but praise God.
Yeah, I won't do it for Scott either, because that means I have to take away from my program. I ain't going to take away from my program.
No, don't do that at all.
No, seriously, folks, let me just lay down here that there is a lot of stuff taught out here in these churches that people assume, they hear it and assume that it's right. They've heard it all their lives. Just because you've heard a thing all your life doesn't make it true. I mean, let's face it, there's not a Muslim out there that was born into the Muslim faith, that grew up all their lives and didn't hear that we're bad and Allah's good. That doesn't make it so. Just because they were taught it, just because they heard it, doesn't make it so. And you're responsible to find out yourself. You are responsible to find out for yourself. And here's the thing. God gave me some revelations. Praise God. Amen. But if you determined in your heart that to know him and to know his word was more important to you than your own life, then he would give to you what he's given to me. It's through the humility and through dedication to know him. And what is eternal life? That they know thee and know me. Paraphrasing what Jesus said there.
Amen.
To know Jesus and to know the Father is eternal life. You want eternal life? Then determine to know them. And if your heart has determined that you want to know them, and it's all about them and not you, that even if it takes dying to know them, that you're willing to do it, then God will reveal stuff to you also. But as long as it's all about you, then you may be in danger of being in the group with these guys. And I hate to think anybody listening to this would be in that group.
You know, Davey, the one thing as you we finish here on this is what strikes me in chapter 7 is they're offering their works just like Cain offered his works, just like the Pharisees offered their works.
Right.
Rather than the blood of Jesus.
When the words out of somebody's mouth to justify their position starts with the things that they've done, there's some red flags. And that goes for ourselves, too. You start justifying your position or your faith in the Lord based on your works. That's starting to get into some dangerous territory.
Well, the thing is, Rick, is that the scripture makes it clear there's only one just, and his name is Jesus. And we are all partakers of his justification. And when you realize that, then you can walk in humility. And you're going to be exceeding grateful continuously for that which the Lord has done for you, not vaunting yourself.
Amen. All right, I think we've about covered it.
I think so.
And I thank all of you guys for being here and listening. And I don't know what we'll talk about next week, but we'll have something to talk about.
It'll be
about Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about. What do you think?
Sounds cool. Best subject there is.
Amen.
Works for me.
All right. Well, God bless you guys. And I guess I'll kick on the music. We did get to go over a little bit.
So it is possible.
So we're going to be turning it back over to the Eagle Radio Network here in just a little bit. I want y'all to think about the things we've said. I hope you mark down the scriptures. Keep them in mind. I just want you to know the awesomeness of God. That's my motive here. It's for you to know the awesomeness of God and the blessedness toward us that he has if we will bring our will in line with his will. But if your will is against him, he won't do anything for you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Frank, any closing thoughts?
Only in that last thing that you were saying, the scripture that keeps coming to mind is just simply this. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen. Steve?
And that, you do not want to be in a place where God is resisting you. That's not where you want to be.
He always wins.
And the thing is it's natural to walk in pride. It's unnatural, frankly, supernatural, to walk in humility. And it's not something that's ever going to be pleasing to your flesh, but it will be pleasing to your soul and your spirit.
Amen. All right, God bless everybody.
God bless.
Until next week, this is Richard Usler signing off.
God bless.
Saying God bless to all.